इतनी भी नदी मोरी उनसे कहीं हो जाए उन बिना दिया रानी कहीं जावे सनद कह के दियारी मोरा सैया घर लाया
Public Affairs.
We're taking off for the moon. Fasten your seatbelts. Let's go.
If you have comments or questions for the host, call us at 621-WRCT or 268-2883.
Oh, we have landed on the moon. I'm so excited. I see people. Must be the moon people.
The opinions expressed are solely those of the participants.
Smile is like a breath of spring. Your voice is soft like summer rain, and I cannot compete with you, Jolene. He talks about you in his sleep, and there's nothing I can do to keep from crying when he calls your name, Jolene. And I can easily understand how you could easily take my man, but you don't know what he means to me, Jolene.
Hello and welcome to Loveline. This is WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM, and it's 11:05. And here in the studio tonight, we are going to be talking about a very special. This is a very special episode of Loveline. Loveline, what is it?
Love Inner Sanctum Style.
Juan, our special host Juan, is out on assignment again. I believe he's in the European countries.
He got so excited by the idea of going to a bathhouse that he rushed right out, bought a ticket on the Concorde, and I believe he's in either Frankfurt or Belgium somewhere investigating these bathhouse phenomena.
Tonight's topic is a little bit unusual. We were sifting through our voluminous viewer mail, and we found several people found it ironic that although our show is called Loveline, we never talk about love. We've been talking about various kinky aspects of sex and sexuality and BDSM, but we never talk about the topic of love itself. So tonight's going to be a little bit different. And the question on the top of my mind is, what's the difference between loving someone and being in love with them?
We haven't actually done introductions, and especially since Jordan is back from her field assignment in Uganda, looking at different forms of labia tattooing.
A future segment of Love Life.
Yeah, you have some fantastic photographs from that trip, too.
It's too bad it's radio, you know?
They'll be on the new CD-ROM, which we're putting out, of course, the Love Line CD.
Actually, I should interrupt with a technical note. We decided to hold off on the CD-ROM and make a DVD-ROM because of the increased capacity of that new format.
Yes.
So if you have one of the new players, You'll be, what is it, like several gigabits of information?
Yeah, it's like 17 gigs or something.
Stay tuned. Yeah.
It'll be perfect for the
color.
Yeah, the full VRML surround sexual scenario of your choice, but we don't want to get into
because
that.
We're about love tonight.
Exactly.
The lights are low, and it's all about love.
Exactly. The quiet storm.
So who are we? I am, of course, DJ Super Prestidigitation Abla Dubla Jour, and we also have in the studio with us
Chris, just plain Chris.
Just Jordan.
And The esteemed
fresh DJ Love.
Excellent.
Ooh, yeah.
So I guess to answer Corey's question, this is actually a topic that
fresh DJ Love
came up recently with a group of friends of mine who we got in a discussion about the people we love and the people we have been in love with. And I don't know if it's ever a distinction that people make quite often enough, or maybe it's not something to be made often. But I think oftentimes it's very easy for us to use the word love and just say, oh, I love that, or I love this person, or I love this thing. But then once you actually say, no, I am in love with this thing, suddenly you've made that leap of faith. You've made a certain commitment that...
Well, you have. I mean, come on. I mean, I'm in love with Madonna. I'm in love with Sugar Smacks. I mean, these are things that I would say. I'm in love with...
You wouldn't just say that you love Madonna, or you actually are in love...
Well, I think I'm saying that even the term in love has been diluted by society.
True.
To say that I really like something.
But in terms of something that you would actually use personally, where you would go so far as to look someone in the face and say, I am in love with you, does that strike a chord of fear or excitement? Or?
I think maybe it says different things to the people observing the relationship when you say, I'm in love with this person. Maybe it denotes less control, personal control of the situation. Like, I'm in love and I've lost my mind. I'm in love. And then I love this person is more like I've come to this realization, but I'm still very much in control.
Mm-hmm. And I also think that I'm in love is very one-sided. If I say I'm in love with you, it's revealing that you have this personal crush on somebody, but it's not. To me, to say I love you is deeper
than I am in love with you.
So I guess syntactical issues arise, because I think it's opposite for me, where I can very much more easily say to somebody that I love them than to say, no, I am in love with you.
I would say I love my mom or I love my friends, but I wouldn't say I'm in love with them.
Hmm. Fascinating.
I find this whole semantic discussion tiresome.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should get down to dirty.
Yes.
Well, not necessarily dirty, but I think what it poses is a really interesting scenario when it comes to balancing your sexual life, because this is obviously we are here for the sexual needs of our listeners, and do you and can you simultaneously be in love with someone or love someone, however, whichever one you want to use as the superlative, and still physically and sexually love other people. And I think that's maybe what we want to initially query.
Well, maybe you can even remove sex from the whole thing and say, can you be, and to use just plain Chris's terminology, in love with more than one person?
True. So I guess we would open up the phone lines at this point. You know the numbers, 412-621-WRCT, if you're out there in the great wide open, or if you're stuck here at Carnegie Mellon University, it's 8WRCT on the campus phones. What are those numbers for those of you who don't have the phone?
That would be 9728. 621-9728.
Excellent. So please call, and if you have a personal story of being in love with multiple people, or loving multiple people, or having an interesting time coping with wanting to love other people while in love with someone.
Or if you're just gosh darn head over heels and you want to shout about it, let us know.
Let us know, please.
Or you're the third person on the hit parade of love of someone you want to be number one with.
That's painful. That's definitely painful.
We still want to hear it.
True. So I think one of the... I think this does become an interesting topic, because I know at least Jordan and I have a whole host of esteemed Wow.
We're
entering the studio.
I can't talk yet, so keep talking.
Oh, Juan has returned from
in
his
on the
flight.
Concord.
Apparently flew in on the red eye, or I guess it's too early for the red eye, but
excellent.
We're glad to have you.
Back wow. from on assignment.
So how were the European bathhouses that you were checking out?
I was checking out European bathhouses, and in fact, I just came back. How did you know? I didn't tell you. I was hoping to be back in time.
Hey, man,
as
we get
part of my job
sheet.
As co-host of the show, I have to make sure I know where you are at every moment.
Well, I mean, your personal assistant told us, basically.
Well, mm-hmm. There was a particular scent to this steam in the bathhouse in Bratislava that I have just returned from. I couldn't extricate myself in time.
Interesting. Yeah. Were you in the whirlpool?
No,
having
it was,
a sexual
no,
encounter?
It was a steam room. It was
steam room.
A labyrinth full of steam. There's an old castle in Bratislava at the top of a hill. I don't know if you've seen pictures of it.
Oh, I've been there.
But the dungeon. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I used to be a towel boy there before I got my.
But you worked in the dungeon. I don't think you ever actually.
No, well, this is in the dungeon. It's what they used to for the political prisoners until I guess 8 years ago or so.
That's right. I used to.
So it was now completely commercialized.
Just to mop up.
It's
sort of part of the peace dividend.
Yeah, but they have like. KGB-looking guys in leather. They've done it pretty well. But anyway, what were you talking about? I, my research will come to the light at a later date. But.
Well, the lights are low, and we're talking about love.
Oh, let me get in the mood.
L-O-V-E, capital L, capital E.
One of the questions before us in its most simple form is, can you be in love with two people at once? Has anybody had experiences
sure
with this?
Sure thing. I love my niece. I love my brother.
Not
my
that way.
See, already we have some tactical.
The semantics. They're unclear.
Would you say?
No, I responded that way on purpose.
Yeah. Would you say you are in love with those people?
In tick, love. Tick, well, I never tick, say tick, that. But
really?
Never?
I don't think so.
Do you say it in Spanish?
No. Well, this is all part of my point. I don't know if I'm breaking what
okay, no, about, go, I'm interrupted.
That I think love is to a great, love is to a great extent lost.
Uh-huh.
Because otherwise there is no reason why you wouldn't love somebody that you're not sexually capable of, or you're not capable of having a sexual relationship with. Hmm. And for example, in Spanish, you were bringing that up, you don't say, I love you, you say, I want you. When you are all romantic and stuff. I think that's pretty significant of at least that culture.
Definitely.
Interesting.
So why can't there are you other cultures that have different. I mean, if we have a linguist out there, please call and and do other translations for the differences between affection showing between your.
I believe in Germany you say, you shock me.
I think that's.
I heard that.
So would you say, why wouldn't you say, I'm in love with. My niece.
I want to totally reject what you just said, first of all.
Okay.
This notion, you said something about love and lust being the same because you only love the people that you're sexually attracted
no,
to.
No, I didn't say they were the same or I didn't mean to, only that a great part of being in love is being in lust or being sexually attracted. Otherwise, you would love 80-year-old people. You would love your family. You would be in love with your family.
Right. I think that may be some of the distinction that I was trying to get at with the differences between love and in love, and I think it does get blurry when those people can be sexual partners, and the potential is there. So it's not your niece, it's not your sister. Of course, depending on what part of the country you're from, that may be you may be in love with your sister. You may actually have children.
But that aside,
that's another whole part of the DVD-ROM. I think what. Yeah, I think I would definitely agree with Juan that there are certain people who are simply off limits to most of us in our lives that we still love, but simply cannot say, I want you.
Right.
And I think that's, it's difficult maybe, and maybe it's not difficult for certain people out there with a strict moral code not to be able to be in lust with more than one person at the same time.
I would like to hear from somebody who is abstaining from sex and who has somebody that they're in love with to call us and explain, because I think for us it's all too mixed together.
But perhaps. Or maybe not. We have silence from half the room.
Well, if you have, quote-unquote, an infatuation with someone who's beyond your reach, then isn't that that case?
Which case?
Say I'm, whatever, I don't know, incapable of acting on my lust or my infatuation because, say...
Madonna or something.
Yeah, you know, well, no, I mean someone you actually know, some
like
friend of yours, but it's a forbidden love.
Your
like
teacher.
Not even your teacher, just your friend's wife or something, right? So you don't... You might be attracted, you might be charmed, and you might actually become infatuated, but you cannot act. So how does that fit in?
Well, I would say if you love her, you would act, or him, or whatever. You would act. You might act. You might be a totally contradictory and changing.
So you're saying if you do not act, you can't claim to be in love?
Maybe it's just another word.
No, I'm... You have to at least be able to imagine the possibility of acting, I think, in order to be in love.
Yeah.
Maybe not to have sex, but you have to imagine the possibility of having a relationship with that person.
Yeah. You already do have a relationship. What
a relationship that has a side of lust, even if it's never realized. Again, the 80-year-old women. Harold and Mott notwithstanding.
Again, I think this is a very thorny semantic territory. I mean, you and I have a relationship which has an undercurrent of lust that we've never acted on, except in the controlled conditions of the WRCT lab. And yet, are we in love? I say no.
Oh, my God.
Well, I say that on-air admission is quite damaging to
certain
people.
Tears are streaming down one's face.
So maybe what we're trying to say, then.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, is maybe that you can have lust without love, but not love without lust? Is that...
Well, I wouldn't put it in such a terminating sentence, but yeah. Yeah, you can certainly have lust without love, but I think what we call love is kind of... has a component of lust.
Good God. Yeah. Ralph, previous Loveline guest, if you're out there, please call. We need your
insight on this issue.
Your razor-sharp intellect to clear
or
up.
Any other callers out there who have other issues in this blurred line, please just call at 621-WRCT.
Have you ever, any of you, been in love with somebody that you couldn't even enjoy the fantasy of having sex with, somebody really old or somebody,
no.
You know what I mean?
Not me.
I think for a long time I could say that. I was in love. I thought I was, well, see, I mean, and this is an interesting thing also, the falling in and falling out of love factor. I would argue that it's very, very easy to fall out of love with somebody and still love them. Like, I've fallen out of love with some of the people that I've been in love with, and yet still been able to say, well, in retrospect, there was something there, and obviously I can't hold, you know, everything, but I don't know. I think we actually have a caller on the line.
Caller? Is the caller there?
Hi, this is Ralph. I just tuned in and heard your plea. What do you need me to say?
Well, since you are in a loving, committed relationship, we were hoping you could clear up this problem that we have about does love necessarily involve a sexual interaction? How would you describe your relationship with Laura? Lauren?
Lori. Well, so I'm personally a little scared of using the word love before really certain that that's what I feel, because using a word that powerful changes the reality. Now, so currently I would describe our relationship as strongly committed and caring. Now, there's certainly a healthy sexual aspect there. We have found gone completely to sex so far. This is where we are right now.
You haven't gone completely sex so far? What was that word?
I believe he's saying that they have a sexual relationship, but they haven't had full sex yet. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Full sex. Bookmark that.
I believe Chris used to call it official sex.
Official sex.
Yes. with the stamp of approval.
I was sexual from the age of 15 on, but I didn't actually have full sex until this year, so. Yeah. And the deep flower is here.
Thanks, man.
Well, one of the deep flowers.
Exactly. There have been so many since. I think it is an interesting thing. I guess my question to Ralph would be, do you find that if you, at the point, one of the comments that I made before is oftentimes if somebody professes love, however they're professing it, at least in a relationship context, do you feel like you're giving up some form of power, or that you're somehow then locking yourself into a series of expectations from the other person? Is that perhaps some of your avoidance? You said love is a very powerful word for you. Can you explain that?
Guess I have a certain fear of that falling in love with people for whom it's bad for me to be in a relationship, for which the relationship ends up making me unhappy instead of making me happy.
Mm-hmm.
That love for me is that extra level of commitment and a certain extra level of expectation, not so much from the other person to me, but from me to myself.
Right.
So, yes, very powerful.
So who do you think is going to say it first in your relationship? You or Lori?
I couldn't say. I could imagine either of us doing so.
And you expect it to happen?
I'm trying my best not to have any expectations at all about it, but yeah, I do.
Have you been in love before, or have you ever found yourself using the word, like, I love you, to somebody directly?
Yes, I certainly have.
So you're speaking from experience?
A certain amount.
Okay.
I've also found that I tend to fall in love, or at least infatuation, with the people that I have sex with,
mm-hmm.
which has led to changes in my own sexual behavior. Right now I try to refrain from having sex until I've already fallen in love with the person.
Hmm. Interesting.
Are you talking about people that you play with, in the BDSM term of the word play, or are you talking about people you have sex with, or is there much of a difference? Like the person that flogged you, for example, did you find yourself starting to love that person?
I remember many of the people who have flogged me with close friendship, but not the traditional romantic senses of love. Exactly.
But you said before that your idea of love was not a romantic vision of it. It was a commitment, right?
That's pretty romantic. Promising to be there in the morning and to be a shoulder someone can cry on, it's really as romantic as roses and moonlight serenades.
I would agree with you. I don't know if the boys concur, but I would agree.
I agree. It's a beautiful sentiment. I don't know if it's romantic. My mother did that for me years ago, and
that was a marriage other than a commitment to be there and be around and stick with someone. And marriage is like the great romantic ideal of Western society, or probably all society.
Oh, so now you're equating marriage and love. I missed that step. Marriage is a wonderful thing.
Okay,
it lasts forever.
Kidding.
Love is great, too, but I'm not sure.
I'm not even sure that I agree that marriage is a great Western ideal. Certainly in the Middle Ages, there were whole traditions of courtly love that thought that marriage was totally inimical to love, and you couldn't really have a love relationship with someone you were married to.
Mm. I have some friends who actually still believe, well, one friend in particular who still believes that arranged marriages would actually be a very good idea, and is very serious about that, which is fascinating, to me at least, because I would have a very hard time.
What's the reasoning behind this?
The reasoning is because, well, as he puts it, people are stupid and insipid, and they don't tend to do a very good job at choosing mates anyway, so why not just throw them in a situation that they, you know, that maybe you could, you know, maybe there could be a government agency or something like that, like a matchmaking agency. And
this would be for the benefit of improving the gene pool.
I'm not really sure what it's, I didn't quite follow the string, but it was a fascinating conversation at the time. But, yeah, I mean, who knows? Who are we to judge that, you know, choosing our own mates and choosing our own life partners is such a good idea? I think it is, but...
I still don't know what love is, and all the answers to all the questions that Ralph and you just asked.
Hmm. Well, I've actually got one for Juan, but it revolves around something you said on another show.
That's fine.
I think I don't want to.
Is Ralph done with us? Yeah. Or are we done with
him? I think we should thank Ralph. We've certainly sparked some more discussion.
Thank you, Ralph. Stay near the phone.
We may need you again.
Bye.
I remember a sex talk, when it was Sex Talk or Love Line, as we've had so many different names for the show, as DJs.
Well, and when we were back in Vegas, it was actually had a different name.
Yeah, but you know, we were working out of the back of a truck then, and it was kind of, you know, fly by night. But Juan, you made a statement at one point that, and I don't know whether this is wholly accurate, but that you actually had a hard time being in love or actually even falling in love until you had actually had a sexual encounter with someone.
Well, what I feel, I don't know what I said in that occasion, and okay. Sometimes I try to play devil's advocate, but what I feel is that sex is a great helper towards love, mm-hmm. and I have fallen in love, and I'm not sure what that means. I have a difficult time even saying something like that, because I think I have just been brainwashed into thinking those words mean something. Maybe they don't. But I certainly have a much easier time after I've had sex than before. It can happen before, but it's a lot more unlikely. And having sex certainly might make me fall temporarily in love with somebody that I would not at all consider.
Well, I'd agree with you there, definitely. I think sex is...
It's a total intimate time. It's at least 3 weeks I've experienced with somebody, compact into an hour.
Yeah.
I could not agree less. I mean, I totally disagree.
Sex as the clinical separator.
Yes, it is. I think, for me, sex is what draws me to another person. But when we finally have the sexual act, then it's only then, you know, after...
It's only then that the repulsion begins.
This is another show that Corey becomes disgusted
with himself.
Maybe
this is just my unique psychology. But, you know, so the sexual thrill lasts for a few weeks, and then you're thinking really clearly. You're, like, over.
Oh,
you're over the conquest
gosh.
Phase, and you're like, who is this person that I'm, like, spending all this time with? And the reason you fall in love is totally independent of the sex. The sex part is done.
I cannot be independent if it happens to be over just after you had sex. So.
Well, I don't mean just after the first specific sexual act, but I just mean
the conquest,
after the thrill of finally, you know, this person that you've been totally fantasizing and thinking about, you finally
get them
achieved.
Capture.
And you've been dating and having sex regularly. And
so we have love as conquest, love as commitment. What else has been said? All of them
love
seem
is marriage.
To be totally unrelated to each other. We need as
love
many
as
words
control.
As the Eskimos have for snow, it seems like.
Well, actually, I have an interesting story, which I can probably tell within a fairly short amount of time. But
you have 30 seconds.
That's
how I can do this. I have a friend that I met in college, male friend, became very close to. We were fantastic friends from day one. We're very close. A lot of people right off the bat assumed we were gay. They were just like, oh, they spent all this time together. You're gay lovers, whatever. We just had a really close friendship. It was the first time, actually, that I think this person had somebody they could really refer to as a best friend. He left to go work in another city. I ended up simultaneously, right after he left, coming out of the closet, dating somebody, dating another man. It was my first gay experience. This completely threw him because he through kind of thinking about his own sexuality, his own life, very heterosexual person, suddenly began to question his own feelings towards me as I emerged in this new kind of definition of who I love. And it became very difficult for him because he basically was starting to say, well, I think I actually love you more than I've loved anyone I've ever dated, and even more than I love my own family. Like, you are, in female form, you would be the one. Like, you would be the one that I'm in love with. And he actually returned to Pittsburgh fully expecting that we would have a sexual relationship at some point during his visit. And I then actually just visited him a couple weekends ago, and again, that expectation was kind of silently there, and yet it didn't happen because I, too, love this person. I cannot say that I'm in love with this person. I probably do not share the same level of love with this person. It's amazing. You know, we have amazing dynamic, and he's a great friend. But just because I suddenly have opened, you know, the restrictions on who I choose to have sex with, it just didn't seem, it seemed to be somewhat counterproductive to kind of, enter this whole sexual realm into what was a very good friendship.
Enter in the inner sanctum.
Exactly. But why?
This is also painfully tragic to me. Can you explain, I mean, could there be a more ideal partner for you than this person who's clearly your best friend?
He was my best friend for a long time. And I don't like to make distinctions like best friend, actually, to be honest. I have a lot of people that I think fall into the same category.
I give
category.
Up numbers. I have one of those roles.
Do you? Yeah. You're in sanctum alpha.
This person actually described his friends at one point to me as the rings around a planet, and that there were people very close to him, like kind of on that planet, if he was the planet.
Jesus.
There were people like actually on that planet, and then there were people kind of just outside on those rings and whatever. And to me, I was actually on that planet.
I don't see how the planet metaphor really makes
sense. Well, just the
clearer.
Distance you keep people from you. And those inner rings are people very close to you, and then those outer rings are people
who are
like...
But why astronomy? Why not just, you know...
Because it spans several orders of magnitude.
He's a very imaginative person.
So, these people.
So here we go again, that this guy thinks he loves you and then almost automatically wants to have sex with you.
Right.
We kind of separate the two.
And how did you...
One is just teasing his thesis out of everything that's happening here tonight.
It's
shadow of a doubt.
Obvious to me.
And Corey, it would have really perturbed you because he is hot. I mean, he is gorgeous.
Well,
he's a gorgeous...
Even I agree.
I mean, yeah.
Not particularly care for this person's personality.
Built to the nines, phenomenal looking man.
Kind of swim team cohort?
No, but definitely very athletic. In fact, I'm sure you
more of a polo player, really.
I think I've seen him. He looked like he had a fantastic personality.
Something
really appreciate.
Lots and lots of personality. Yeah. He had a well hung.
Part of a size 9 shoe.
I think I understand where you're coming from because I actually was just dealing with this. Today I also have a 30-second story, where Juan, you were talking about, made me think of, have you ever loved someone and not wanted them sexually? And I was thinking about it, I was like, and I didn't think so, but then I realized, for me in my life anyway, and this is probably different for a lot of people, when it comes down to women, there's been a lot of women in my life that I have very much loved and been, like, I've imagined that they would be the one that I would want to marry, that I would want to be with for the rest of my life, and yet at the same time was just so scared of them sexually and just, scared of messing up the friendship and, you know, just not really wanting to think about that aspect, and yet to have someone that's so perfect for you and just thinking, you know, I wish you were a man so I knew how to handle this situation. I don't know how to handle this relationship.
I have an experience like that, too, with a male friend. But, see, I would never say that I was in love with him, even though I probably loved him. And I guess my thesis is not that love and sex are intertwined, but that this love thing is just a word that we apply to anything. It's kind of like putting a thick barbecue sauce on fish, you know? We just... call everything love, and we don't distinguish.
Wow. I see what you mean.
Yeah.
We'll be distributing official WRCP.
So I would never say I was in love with this guy, even though I probably was.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on what you mean by in love, and nobody really ever seems to know what they mean. I certainly don't.
Maybe that's why we just call it all in love, because we don't know what to say.
Well, what is the effect of sex on love? We've seen the positive effect in that you can sort of fall in love after you've had sex.
And we see the conqueror's problem.
But perhaps it's just a focusing agent. It it allows you to, it clarifies in your mind what you're thinking about.
Sometimes
the other
it
person.
Can cloud, too.
It very much can cloud.
And what is this whole thing about this comment about, I'm afraid that having sex would mess up my relationship? What can you possibly mean by that?
Well, I mean, I can think of one female friend in particular with whom we have a long-standing sexual attraction to each other, and it's just a lot of flirting, a lot of kissing, whatever, but never...
I have witnessed some of this kissing.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
But I mean...
Let's just pause for a minute and talk about the kissing.
Let's just dwell on that.
Let's talk about Canada, Jordan.
I'm like the only female in the room again.
I mean, you're kissing each other. This is not just like a greeting.
Or at least half of us are gay.
More kind of sensual.
Oh, definitely. We've
how do you still
made
do
out.
That? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, go ahead.
I was thinking a lot. How do you keep it at that? How do you stop?
Well, because I'm public. So... Well, yeah, one of them was public, but...
Why don't I have friends like this?
We have exceptional friends. I'm scared. I'm not exactly sure why. I'm still working that out, but with this person in particular, I think I feel kind of... She's been with more women and more men in her life than I could ever hope to be with. So, I feel kind of, I don't feel unsafe.
We're going to bring her on the show.
Yeah. I feel sort of...
Hundreds?
No, not that many.
Will she be able to kiss all of us?
Probably. She'd probably... No, I don't know.
Well...
It depends.
See, that's what, you know, that's what, when it comes down to me, they're like, well, maybe... We'll just be friends.
I don't want to ruin the friendship that we have, Senior.
It's such a precious little jewel.
It's a precious, guest-host relationship.
I think one of the
sullied with a kiss.
I think some of Jordan's fears, I think some of your fears also revolve around some of the performance issues of, like, you know, could
I? Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. It's just, how do you satisfy this person who's had everyone in the phone book? Mm-hmm. Like... And who is very worldly and very open with their sexuality, and here's me who's never
be a thrill because you'd be like a tender little virgin to deflower.
Well, I mean, see, that's my other issue is that, I mean, if you, of course, our listeners can't look at me, but I mean, I'm a very, like,
sexual.
Thank you. I'm not a frail little waify kind of girl, you know, and I always assumed that.
Robust.
Should I ever be in a woman to woman relationship, I always thought that I would kind of take the guy role, and so I feel kind of like I'm confident up to that point, and then I'm like I suddenly feel like a geeky kid, you know.
Is that standard in lesbian relationships to have one person be the guy? I thought they could both be women sometimes.
Well, yeah, I think they can, but I mean that's just me. Like I'm a very masculine person, I think. I see. Anyway, so
are you the guy in your current relationship?
Sometimes.
that's another love line.
I guess you're just trying to find the role in this new situation, and you just choose the guy because it seems easier.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My issue that Corey finds so tragic, I should bring in pictures, it'd be even worse. My problem is that somehow if you have sex with a friend like this who is so very curious about, first of all, their own sexuality, to the point where they actually would fully experiment with you, then suddenly if they like it, if they realize this is something that they really like, it gets in their head, and suddenly they're like, wow, you know, maybe I am gay, or maybe I am, and it could work even with a straight couple. Suddenly, you know, they have this sexual encounter with somebody they really have, you know, found a fascination with and are enamored with, and suddenly they realize it's really the thing. Because I have no qualms that I could very much please this person. I don't think that would be the issue, because I'm kind of over that whole, you know, fear of at least the gay sex scene.
You don't
or what it would be.
Don't you feel some kind of tremendous responsibility to make his first gay experience a positive one?
Mm.
That, I mean, and I guess the side note of all of this is, yes, chances are, if the situation had been correct, perhaps, I would very much see myself having sex with this person. However, to think that every time I saw this person from here on out in our lives, you know, and I hope, you know, and fully expect that this person will be my friend for my life, that we would have to have sex, you know, or, well, you know, we didn't have sex this visit, so what, you know, did we lose something? You know, did we go wrong somewhere?
There's a flaw in this argument somewhere.
Is there? Like, at all?
Why is that a burden?
Well, suppose...
Oh, it is a burden.
Suppose I'm currently in this very loving, you know...
You don't always want to have sex all the time.
Right.
Believe it or not.
I'm shocked.
You expose one of the sides to having to reject, and that's never pleasant.
Right. And who knows, you know, who knows what other issues are involved. I mean, if you're in a relationship with someone else who is very into the whole monogamy thing, and you respect that, and they are fulfilling your sexual needs, and they would be ultimately betrayed by the fact that you would have had random sex with this person that you had sex with before who's in love with you, somehow you've really got a complicated situation.
Well, not complicated at all. It's just you say,
don't
sorry.
No, you say, sorry.
I'm occupied now. Here's my three cute friends. See what you can get over there.
And then suddenly you've broken their heart.
So
they're crying.
I'm channeling Ralph right now mentally. And here's what Ralph would say. He would say, the key is communication. You tell Jordan, I'm flying to like Baltimore or wherever to have sex with my totally hot, studly athlete boy. So Jordan, deal with it. And then you tell him, I'm having sex with you this weekend, but you can't have any long-term expectations. We love each other, we're friends, but if everybody knows...
Well, in a perfect world, that would work, except that I've been in the situation where...
You didn't talk. You didn't just make...
But you do talk.
If you do talk, it doesn't help. Also, Ralph is the man who negotiates before having a sexual experience.
Ralph gets it all up from beforehand.
Well, Jordan fully gave me permission to have sex with this person.
So you're halfway there.
Oh, yeah. I could have.
I mean, we're not talking about me not giving him. I mean, I'm not going to be the wifey at home that said, you're not going to go out and
go blow some high school.
Oh, my God. Especially me.
College boy.
I mean, in our relationship, he gives me permission. I give him permission. And if at some later date, you know, we decide that we're done playing around, then that's fine. But, you know, we know that we're the primary pretty much for each other, and we care about each other.
Until that's not true, and it will take you a long time to realize that.
So has that been tested? Have you actually had sex outside your relationship?
One of us has. I'm waiting until this weekend, actually.
I'll have to use the power of binary logic to figure out.
Is it on my right?
Yes, I have had an experience outside, and it was fun, but it wasn't nearly as fulfilling as our sexual relationship.
But what if it had been?
In my case,
I mean, I'm talking about a, you know,
theoretically,
hypothetical here. It's probably impossible, but
actually, you know, we've known each other for so long. I think that it would be hard pressed to find a one night stand that could measure up to the way that we know each other. That aside, in this case, it didn't matter because this person lives about 600 miles away back home, so it was not a big deal. And was also a friend, you know, and a mutual friend, and it was very
out. He's a really cool guy. I like him.
Yeah.
We talk on the phone all the time.
Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't...
How sordid.
How sordid and how unusual. Why is it that you're not jealous? Do you love each other?
Yes.
Very much.
I thought love always this love thing that I don't really know what it is.
Yeah, why doesn't that drive you crazy?
Well, what's really fascinating in this whole trip recently, actually, we had this kind of very deep discussion because Jordan came out here to kind of leave some things behind in Rhode Island and also to start kind of afresh. And also, I was in the picture, and both of us were petrified of the prospects of falling in love with each other again. And this was, we clearly lined this out, and we were like, you know, in countless emails and letters and kind of phone conversations, we're like, you know, we're going to have this friendship, and if sex happens, then that's cool, but, you know, we're going to, you know, keep it this way and that way. And gradually, you know, we both started doing exactly what we were afraid of, and that was exactly falling in love. And suddenly, I and what I realized was I was very, very quickly trying to always go back to the laws that we laid out before. And like Juan said, you talk. We communicated. We had everything down on paper.
Yeah, we could read each other's minds.
Exactly.
And yet it's
completely irrelevant at this point. And it was like, well, you know, so much emotion has been shared and so many things have happened that somehow everything else is irrelevant. And now, you know, you know, we're in love again.
I think what we realized is that we weren't afraid of falling in love so much as we were afraid of overcommitment.
And also, yeah, what that love meant before was a very tight, somewhat obsessive, okay, very obsessive.
Very obsessive.
relationship in the past. And I think that that's one of the big fears that people have is like, well, if I say I love you, somehow I've lost all my freedom. Like, it's gone. And whether I ever take advantage of our open relationship or whether Jordan chooses to take advantage of it again or whatever, it just knowing that that's there, I think, is a serious, like, relief and also almost makes me, you know, want to love more.
So, so for Ralph, this love thing is commitment, but for you it's not. And for you it's conquest, but for us it's not.
Well,
so what the hell is this thing?
The open relationship is really interesting, because I'm in some sense what might be technically called an open relationship. I like to consider myself 99% monogamous. I mean, we technically have permission to have sex outside the relationship, but right. When it actually happened, my partner.
So one of you.
The one that was not me. I was actually surprised at my reaction. It was okay kind of the first time it happened, and then sort of the second time it happened, it was still okay. It was the same person.
Mm-hmm.
My partner had a special, liked somebody a lot and kept on kind of going back. And after sort of the third time, I started to feel very jealous. And I was surprised at my reaction. I was like, you know, intellectually, I don't feel like I have the right to prevent you from having sex with anybody else for the rest of your life. But emotionally, I'm feeling vulnerable.
Geez, three times. I think that's enough.
Well, yeah. I can honestly say, like, yeah, I mean, if one of us started regularly having a sexual encounter with somebody else, I know I would get
jealous.
Yeah,
it's like, okay, you know, I know you're 75, but I got a 15% over here and a 10% over there.
Well, it's just not balancing.
I think we kind of play it safe, too. Like, I know that from my point of view anyway, and I think Chris feels the same way, you know, sex with our immediate group of friends is kind of safe because we've all kind of slept with each other and it's kind of okay, you
know? It's safe from the clinical perspective as well.
Well, yeah, and from an emotional perspective,
they found a complete
too.
Closure group and they have control over that.
Right.
How do you get friends like this? I mean,
you work for from high school on.
Exactly. No, these are people we knew in high school and then kind of gradually.
The internet just doesn't have it all.
I'm sorry to say.
Well, you missed the Thanksgiving show where we just, you know, totally detailed the Thanksgiving order.
No, I'm fully aware of the Thanksgiving.
And we'll be reporting on assignment from the Labor Day orgy
coming up in a few weeks. There's a potential orgy this weekend.
Oh, yes, this weekend and then the following weekend as well. We'll be going home, mm-hmm. So
there's more, maybe potential for me to, you know, use my side of the open relationship.
Yeah, to punch his ticket, as it were.
But you still have to be equal, don't you?
Exactly.
You still have to do
one
it.
For one, and
I would feel better, actually, I think.
But see, I could get to it once.
Like do you feel guilty right now? because you've used your...
I don't feel guilty.
...scoring privilege.
But I want to be sure that he...
Actually believes the thing?
Yes, yeah.
No, I completely
agree. As opposed to just giving it lip service.
Yeah. And I do, I believe, but I just want to make sure.
Right. I think if you're conscious.
I'm going to insist that you go and have sex now.
So I don't feel so
well,
bad.
Well, I keep bringing it up. There's these
with your
two
supermodel college friend.
Hot boys. Well, there's these two cute boys back home that have made overtones, so.
You're trying to make him more gay than he already
is. Wait, two who've. Are you talking about the two we're going to see?
Yeah.
Oh, all right, yeah.
But wait, see, they're safe, too, because they're...
No, we're talking about the two of them and me.
Yeah.
Of course, they're engaged.
They're engaged. Two
it's
men.
It's a gay couple.
Engaged
two men engaged to each other, one of whom I've had a quasi...
What does engaged mean?
They're actually getting married.
One of these married, legal in room married?
No,
well,
it's
no,
not.
But you can have a religious bonding ceremony. Done. Most like Protestant churches, I think, do it, and I know
Unitarian churches do it as well.
And Jewish as well.
Yeah, but one of them I've had a physical encounter with, and the other is his fiance.
And I have too.
Exactly. Yeah, you have
a physical encounter. That differs from a sexual encounter.
No, it was
sexual, but it wasn't. It was a fully clothed
makeout session.
Makeout session.
That's what he's trying to say.
I think we would like to hear from somebody who's had an open, loving, open relationship.
Yeah, I think, and we definitely think we would.
And like that didn't work, hopefully, because we have one that is working, and
I'm
still skeptical.
Didn't work.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
I mean, I tried to force it to be open, and the other person gave it lip service and said, you know, I understand, I feel for you.
Maybe he or she believed that he was being opened and didn't realize what was coming.
I think he wanted to see me happy and was afraid to lose me. And I was afraid to lose him. I wanted this kind of safety net of having this person around and then being able to explore my sexuality at the same time. And it didn't happen. I don't think you can change a couple years into the relationship from being fully committed to being something else.
621-WRCT or 268-WRCT if you have a related story. 412 is the area code.
Or if you're confused, please, I'm confused, and I would like some company.
Oh, Juan. How can we help you?
So I think this idea of utter monogamy is a complete fantasy.
If you love someone, set them free.
I think
thank
a little
you, 60s rock
a little bit of openness is a tremendous release of. I mean, how many, like, honestly, I mean, all these married couples, I mean, they've got to be, there's all kinds of cheating going on that, you know, you never find out
what
about.
Are the statistics? It's like 25-30%
it's very
different.
Collect.
It's very different to just have sex with somebody outside your relationship and to have an open relationship, to have that sex with approval. I think that's a much greater transgression.
But with the approval case, it's much more healthy. I mean, ask Ralph. I think openly communicating your feelings and desires and
column in the newspaper. It's healthy to your psychology, not to the relationship.
I think they're both lying. There's nothing worse than lying and being emotionally deceitful to your partner.
I think there are worse things than that.
Well, I mean,
for as long as you don't deceive with your heart, you know what I mean.
Or if you realize that it was a mistake in some way, maybe it would cause more pain to share than to simply. And also, well, especially if you're putting your partner in danger, if you've had unprotected
sex.
That's
the thing.
But if you did it once, you're going to do it again, though.
You think?
Oh, easily.
Even if you had a really bad experience?
Well, if it was really bad, I suppose not.
You could say, whoa, that was so not right for me. And
I think it can just happen once.
I agree that you should talk about it afterwards, but not before.
You want one twist? No, that's if you talk about it afterwards, then you destroy.
Juan just wants some action.
Destroy the trust relationship.
Like, please call up.
I grew up in a culture where confession is
two prisoners of the action.
Well, they have confession booths out on the street. Phone booths.
So you think this 99% thing works well?
Well, see, but it's all at this point, it's largely theoretical because, like I said, it did sort of emotionally bother me, and it hasn't happened since, so it hasn't.
Did
really
you notice
tested.
Any behavior change after this kind of third incident? I mean, did you feel like you were being treated differently? Did you feel like you were being loved any less?
No, not really. I mean, that was actually the key to the problem that I was feeling was physical fidelity is not so important to me as emotional fidelity, and I was worried that.
I agree.
That my partner was liking this other guy too much.
Mm-hmm.
And
he had to be purged.
Stop.
I think, too, it depends. It depends on age and what part of your life you're in, because I can't see myself in the same situation 15 years from now. I mean, you know, I'll probably want to be just from... I mean, I dated someone who was in their 30s, and I know from talking... from being with him that
we know about him.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But you know, to a man's 30s is different from a woman's 30s.
Right. Like, but I mean, he was very ready to settle down, and so were all his friends that were of that age group. We're ready to, you know, they were, I mean, not maybe ready to get married yet, but we're starting to think that way, and we're just kind of, you know, had their running around time, and we're pretty much all set, and I probably think that I'll go that way too, but for now, I'm not done yet. You know.
It sounds like we have a caller, so
are
you on the air, caller? I mean, you are on the air, caller.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. I have a question about Chris and his friend out of town.
Yes.
What is your name, first of all?
Rob.
Rob.
Hi, Rob.
My question is this. You were saying that his problem would be that it would be expected over subsequent visits or things like that, and that would become a problem. What I'm wondering is, what if, and I think this is sort of towards Jordan as well, what if you both visited him together? That would make it somewhat of a more extravagant occurrence, and therefore probably not expected as a repeated event.
Well, Jordan's met him before.
I personally, we have differences of personality, he and I. But, I mean, that aside, he's a cool person, but, I mean, we just have personality differences. But I wouldn't want to feel like...
What does that mean? Everybody who's not your twin has personality differences. Personality conflict.
I'm trying to be nice. But I wouldn't want to feel like I was his approval baggage for sleeping with someone. I think maybe he's just
and
more
he's Chris's
concerned.
Friend anyway. I mean, they want to like go off and do their little fun little things. They don't want...
I mean, if I was going to be with a woman, I don't know if I would... want to force on her.
Although you told me before it would excite you to watch me.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it definitely would. But I wouldn't invite myself into that situation.
So, Rob, you suggest this as a way to smooth things up or something?
Well, yeah, I think that if he is comfortable with straight relationships and encounters, that maybe that would be a transitional period for him.
I think you got it. I think either you or I got it wrong. I think his friend really wants to have sex with Chris, right?
Yeah, I think he has no desire. His desire to have sex with me is more of a reaffirmation of his own love for me and his own being able to cope with, I think I'm straight, but I can't understand the fact that I have this amazing love potential.
He's not in love with Jordan, but he's not uncomfortable with the idea of having sex with you, which is what I think Rob was saying.
I think he is uncomfortable with the idea, but not to the point where it would make him completely cut off the option. I think he's more intrigued by it.
Well, I think maybe what Rob is saying is that having a woman around takes the pressure off, maybe.
Yeah, but I think
is that it, Rob?
I think so, and also that it would make the experience more unusual than just. A visit from Chris. I mean, if Chris visits him often, then I think that it probably would become expected and it would become a burden on the relationship. And maybe this could be a catalyst to make this situation different from other visits in a way that it would differentiate it in the future and it wouldn't become such a problem.
So if we were planning this encounter, would you suggest that Jordan or Chris start to seduce him first? Alone, I guess.
Which one you mean?
Well, one of them is going to have to start to behave sexually. Which of them should start first?
Or should they start together in front of him?
Yeah, actually, that's what my suggestion was going to be, that they start together in front of him.
See, then he's just going to get jealous.
But invite him in.
Jealousy is a source of action, babe.
Actually, you know, that actually might work. Because of course...
Ah, the gears are turning.
No, because...
I'm in trouble now, baby.
because then if she's not there, it's a no-go.
Jordan already made out with my other gay lover, so, you know...
It's known, basically.
Oh, do we need to share that with me?
So, I remember that. We already talked about that.
I'm just thinking, like,
Thanksgiving.
So Rob, have you had an experience like this? Are you drawing from your past?
No, actually, it was just something that... I thought of that it would be something that would ease his fears. I could just imagine the fear and the expectation that he would have, and so I can just appreciate that. Personal experience, sorry.
Bottom line, Rob, do you have sexual feelings for Chris?
No.
No.
Damn.
Well, Rob, thanks for your emotional insight into those not present.
Sure thing.
Thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm. So the one burning question I have is this friend who, what, can we assign him a name? Francois.
We'll call him
John.
John. Okay.
John. So the question is, and I know actually, I know a couple like this. Is he attracted to any other men, or is it just you? Like, is he going to seek out gay relationships or anybody else?
He has. He is. First of all, he kind of dresses and acts sometimes very gay, and also will comment on the attractive men.
and will make comments saying, like, this person is very beautiful. And he grew up in a very sexually liberated environment like I did, but it was also very, a lot of the sexuality around him was very heterosexual, like blatantly heterosexual. And he attributes most of his heterosexuality to actually his upbringing, not because, I mean, he's like, you know, maybe I am gay, but all of the signals that I've ever received have been straight. And suddenly, you know, just the idea of having a gay sex encounter seems so foreign, but yet almost seems so right.
That's how me, so having a foreign sexual encounter seems so gay.
Yeah, you know, it's something like that too. Who knows?
That actually makes little sense to me, just because, I mean, most gay youngsters grow up in a completely heterosexual environment and feel very isolated and yet feel different.
Right. This is a very blatant.
Maybe this guy needs to, like, have sex with you to, like, get it out of his system that he's gay.
Maybe. Or maybe he's kind of...
And it's only going to happen once because he's going to do it and he's going to be like...
Right, but maybe he's in my boat, where, and this gets back to the whole love topic, and as we're running out of time, where it's hard to draw distinctions between those you love by gender. It's hard to, I mean, at least for me, and maybe for some people it's a little easier, but I simply don't find it all that easy to be able to, you know, look at him and look at a woman or the woman that I'm in love with and say, you know, wow, I really want one of you more than the other physically. One of you is certainly, you know, I know for a fact, more capable of loving me and physically, but the other, it's hard to balance. So I don't know. I'm not really sure where. I'm not sure if I can show anyone the light. They have to kind of discover that light for themselves, and who knows. But I'll give you his number, Corey, if you want to talk some sense.
Good. I'm not satisfied with today's discussion about love. I still don't understand anything, but the show is over.
But, well, we can continue with it.
You have been listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, and it's a little bit after midnight.
Discover the light.
Love the one you're with.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, John.
Oh, I see animals. Let's take a walk on the moon. Come on.
The proceeding was a production of WRCT Public Affairs. Listen every day at 5 p.m. for fine WRCT Public Affairs programming, only on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. If you have comments or questions regarding this or any WRCT Public Affairs program, send them to WRCT Public Affairs, 1 Margaret Morrison Plaza, Margaret Morrison Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15213. Or send email to ghw@andrew.cmu.edu.
Of auburn hair with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Your smile is like a breath of spring. Your voice is soft like summer rain, and I cannot compete with you, Jolene. He talks about you in his sleep, and there's nothing I